Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of the day is treating you right for this April 6th, 2023. 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Seth Habagger.
Good morning.
And we have with us in studio our great friend Madison from the Southwood County Humane Society. Good morning, Madison.
Good morning.
We're here with our Pet of the Week. We want to send a big shout out, of course, to our friends at Current Technologies, Inc. and the Southwood County Humane Society sponsoring this segment. Always nice to have you guys in studio. Especially, I was just telling Madison, it's Siamese Cat Day. We want to celebrate all animals, all cats and dogs and all the our furry friends. Madison, how are things going over at the Humane Society?
We're good, good. Starting to pick up. It's springtime, so we're starting to get busy. Lots of animals, but we're getting there.
Right on, right on. Who is our featured pet today?
Our featured pet today is Chica. Chica is a little five-year-old Duluth Torty fuzzy girl sort. She's a little sassy cat. Chica, her name fits her very much, very well.
Yeah.
She was an owner surrender to the Humane Society due to the fact that she was not getting along with the other animals in the home. It was just too much going on in the home, so she was surrendered to the Humane Society. Chica, the first couple days when she was with us, was very sassy. Lots of attitude, was not about people handling her. Now that she's really starting to come out of her shell, she's a very, very sweet girl. Just definitely needs the time and the space and just a home that's going to be the best fit for her. So a home without other animals is highly recommended, and a home without young children is recommended as well.
And if you you have that kind of home, you feel like you have the right environment for Chica, you can bring her, you can bring her in, and you guys will be the kind of assist with that.
Yep. So pretty much when animals are adopted from our care, we try to go through like a 3-3-3 rule. So 3 days to kind of get acclimated to that space, 3 weeks for an animal to be in a routine of, hey, this is kind of how this works, and 3 months to be fully acclimated. Obviously, if it was a situation where she did not work out in that home environment, we do have a 2-week return window where you were able to return the animal and get the adoption fee returned to you.
And I think those are good things to think about before getting to the stage of even contacting you guys, let alone once contacting you, really understanding, is this something that looked good on TV and now the kids want to do or you want to do? Because it's not just kids, it's adults too. Or is this something that will really be a great fit for our family?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, Chica, again, she's a sassy girl, but she's looking for that right home that's going to be the best fit for her. It's one without small children, one without other animals. She just kind of wants to be a little old cat. She acts like a little old lady in a sort.
I think I'm lucky you didn't bring Chica in, because I don't have room for Chica, but I would have a hard time saying no to her. It sounds like my kind of cat. Now, Chica is, of course, she's got her shots, and she's got her microchip.
Yep, she is microchipped, up to date on vaccines, and she is spayed, so she is pretty much ready to go.
When it comes to other animals at the shelter, do you have any? I was asked by a listener about this, and I thought it was a kind of a good thought. But do you have any other animals over there that we wouldn't expect? I know we brought a rabbit in once before and stuff. I know some of the shelters I worked at. There was somebody that brought in a turtle once, and it was this really old turtle. And I was so taken. I didn't know they even did that kind of thing. Is there anything like that going on at the shelter?
Yeah. So I mean, right now we have another rabbit. So that's really the only small animal we have at this time. She will be available soon, but most of our small animals, I handle a lot of those. So when it comes to surrenders or intaking of those animals, I usually am the one that handles all of those. When people call to surrender, we do put them on a wait list just for a little bit, just to make sure we have the space and are able to accommodate the needs of that animal coming into the shelter. But we've had things across the board. I mean, the funniest one we had was alligators a couple of years back. We've had ferrets. We've had chickens that have come in by accident.
We've had chickens
occasionally. We will get our hamsters, our guinea pigs. So we do try to handle a little bit of the small animals. We've had birds before in past. It hasn't been since the last 2 years I've been here, but we do occasionally take them in.
I bring it up for entertainment content, but also to get the audience a bit of an idea of the things that you deal with in a shelter and why it's so important that if you're able to help, we greatly appreciate it.
Yeah.
And when it comes to that, we're in kitten season still, or are we past that?
Yep, we now have our third pregnant mom in foster, so we are definitely up there. We're going to start popping with kittens pretty soon, so kitten season is in full-blown swing.
So when you're picking up that cat food, if you can pick up a little bit extra, give them a call at the Humane Society and drop it off. That's a good way to do that, Madison?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Donations can be dropped off anytime during our business hours.
And those business hours, everybody, we'll get those for you here. Are they correct online?
Yep.
Okay. So Sunday and Monday are going to be closed. Tuesdays, 11 to 6, by appointment only. Wednesdays, they are closed. Thursdays, 11 to 6, by appointment only. Friday, 11 to 6, by appointment only. And same for Saturday, Saturday 10 to 4, by appointment only. So call ahead. You can call 423-0505, 423-0505. There is a lost and found phone number as well.
Yes.
And that is 697-8131, 697-8131. If I can also give a shout out, if you do have a missing animal, Lost Dogs of Wisconsin, the Facebook group, mm-hmm. amazing group, amazing people. They help really well. They help a lot of people out.
They do. I've dealt with the Lost Dogs of Wisconsin, yeah, especially with a lot of people that have lost their pet, and they have posted through that, and they have just been fantastic with the aspect of people are just posting sightings, able to get those dogs home. Like, there was just a story a couple weeks ago of a dog that was missing for over 2 years that was finally caught.
Wow. I didn't hear about that. Thank you for sharing that. That's a good story of the day.
It is. Awesome. It's one of those ones where, like, they will run, and they are going to keep running until you can catch them. And I know there's one, I think there's a Catahoula dog that's been missing. It started up in Upper Michigan, then it went missing, and it's down somewhere in southern Wisconsin right now. So.
Jeez. Dogs. I mean, they follow that scent, and they literally take them anywhere.
Yep.
I genuinely don't know where my little fur brother Sammy would be if it wasn't for that Lost Dogs of Wisconsin group. Mm-hmm. I think he would he'd be like one of those dogs. He's somewhere in New Mexico chasing a scent somewhere or something by now. Madison, if people want to see our Chica that we just talked about here or any of these other animals, is there ways for them to see these animals from the Humane Society?
Yeah, definitely. So all of our animals are posted on our website. We also are allowing walkthroughs through our cat room at this time. Cool. So you are more than welcome to just stop by and go and look through the cats in our cat room. Our dog room, we are still appointment-based only. So if you are interested in viewing any of the dogs, we do ask an application is filled out first, and then we will schedule an appointment.
We're already looking forward to next week. I really appreciate the time you coming into the building and everything. Madison, thanks so much for joining us.
We love it. Thank you.
If people have follow-up questions, want to know more and reach you, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can call the shelter line. Otherwise, they're more than welcome to email us at swchs@swchs.com.
And that's the same letters you're going to need for that website. And be sure to bookmark their webpage, swchs.com. Bookmark that page and keep up on all the great things at our Southfield County Humane Society. Also, like their social media accounts, a great follow, great thing to follow. So we want to send a big thank you to Madison and all the gang over our furry friends. You have a great day, Madison. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Big thank you to our Pet of the Week being brought to you by Current Technologies and Southfield County Humane Society. Snuggle up with a new friend this cold season. There is someone waiting for you. And when the power goes out, contact Current Technologies, your local platinum Kohler and generator dealer. Don't be left in the dark. Call 715-887-444. That's 887-4444 today to get more information about Kohler Standby. We'll be back with more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Shout out to Madison and our friends at the Southfield County Humane Society. Thanks so much for joining us. That was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We dive into some entertainment news now. I thought this was pretty cool. At a CMT Music Awards over the weekend, Darius Rucker was asked about going country back in 2008 and why he did it. Basically, he'd been talking about it for years, and when Hootie and the Blowfish broke up, he said, quote, "We had a meeting and said we aren't going we aren't going to tour anymore, so I know it was time for me to go to Nashville and see if I could do it." He says there were lots of haters at first, but he was just glad someone was paying him to make a record, and hopefully he could keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
The first single, Don't Think I Don't Think About It, did well, though, and the rest, of course, is history.
Mm-hmm.
Hootie eventually did reunite in 2018, and they still play some shows occasionally. They're actually headlining an event later this month in Cancun, Mexico, called Hootie Fest. And if you love early 90s music,
there you go.
The Gin Blossoms, Goo Goo Dolls, Bare Naked Ladies, and Collective Soul.
Oh, wow.
Perfect.
That sounds like a mixtape from like all of our early 90s.
Yes, it is. Wow.
I bet that's going to do well. I bet
it'll be just fine. Yes.
I think it's kind of interesting, and I've heard him like talk a little bit more mm-hmm. about this in extension, where he always felt a pull to Nashville. He always mm-hmm. felt a pull to this style of music. But the guy, you know, growing up, and he, you know, you get especially when you're young, you get turned on to different styles of music,
right?
But I don't think it's that far fetched for him to have switched gears like this. Mm-mm. Taylor Swift started out as a country star. She's mm-hmm. now the biggest pop star in the world,
right?
That Carrie Underwood, you know, Dolly Parton, for God's sake.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's right.
It's rock album coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's a common theme in country music to go from country to pop or something like that. Now, to go from pop to country, I think that's a little more interesting to me. That's a little more, I don't know. I'm reminded of Amy Grant. When Amy Grant first came out, big pop star, a couple of hits, all that, she goes to Christian contemporary music.
Right, right. She actually started in Christian
she
music.
She started, yeah, there, yes. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. but the fade yep. back and forth mm-hmm. between the genres, if you
very
will,
rare, yeah.
You don't see that very often.
No, you do not.
And you don't see what Darius Rucker here has done very often.
You know, I'm trying to think. I know that some of the early rockabilly stars from like the 1950s, yeah, they pretty much went, Carl Perkins is a good example. He went pretty much straight up country. Jerry Lee Lewis kind of went country and that kind of stuff. But in more recent times, yeah, you do not see that happen very often.
It's it's what we ask of our artists, and it's what they ask of themselves. Mm-hmm. We use the metaphor all the time. The Beatles yep. went from "I Want to Hold Your Hand" to "Sgt. Pepper."
Yeah, right.
They adapted. They changed. It, yep. You know, everybody wants to.
Exactly.
Very few bands outside of AC/DC wanted to keep doing the same thing.
Them and Motorhead, they're the two.
And that's not a shot at them. That's just, you know, that's how rare that is, that you can use that example and people know what you mean.
Well, and it doesn't surprise me. Darius Rucker, of course, is a proud South Carolinian, I'm sure he was surrounded by country music where he grew up as well. So that's just part of his musical lexicon.
It's a new
And variety is the spice of life.
Oh, yeah.
So mm-hmm. you don't want to be stuck doing the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
Well said, Mel. This is going to be a little awkward and everything, but I want us to be able to find the funny in it. I think that we not only deserve it, but I think it's part of the healing, and it's part of this, you know, everything going forward here. Mm-hmm. Remember the 2002 kid movie, Master of Disguise? It starred Dana Carvey as well, a master of disguise, named Pistachio Disguisey. It was a horrible movie.
It was terrible.
The only thing I remember, turtle, like, yeah. It almost killed his career. If it wasn't for a doctor that almost did that. Well, things got dead serious on the set of the film when 9/11 attacks happened. Mm. Production halted for a while, but when they resumed, they decided to hold a moment of silence. Unfortunately, Dana was already made up as a turtle man, one of the many disguises he was wearing in the movie. The outfit included a bald cap, a pointy turtle lid, and a shell. A lip and a shell. So he had a lip and a shell mm-hmm. and all this. Dana can't remember for sure, but he thinks they might have taken the shell off, but it would have taken too long to remove the prosthetic, so it was weird. He says, quote, "Everyone else was wearing civilian clothes, and I'm dressed as Turtle Man with a bald head, and I'm holding hands and I'm lowering my head and praying, and I just thought at that moment, this is very strange."
Very strange.
Dana continued on talking about this on the Fly on the Wall podcast. We are able to, I don't say this lightly by any means. We are all affected by 9/11, and there are certainly people that were affected by it much more than we were, mm-hmm. losing loved ones mm-hmm. or et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But we are getting to a point in time where we're able to tell, I don't want to say tell jokes about it, but to say something about something like this, and it's a little more kosher. It's a little more okay. You certainly couldn't have done this on the 12th. Doing this years and years later, this is part of healing. This is part of how we heal. It's comedy. It's one of the great things comedy does for mm-hmm. us. It isn't... Now, there is a line in the sand, obviously, with that. I don't think making a direct joke about the day is okay.
No, I wouldn't do that.
But, I mean, if you want to have a giggle at this and the idea of Dana Carvey, one of the funniest people most of us have ever seen, sitting there in a turtle costume trying to be solemn in this moment, that's okay. It's okay. It's part of healing. Right. It is part of growing. Mm-hmm. And it shows, hey, they did not win that day. What would it be better if we're all just solemn all the time and we have our heads down? That's me and my teens. You don't want to be that. Trust me.
Right.
This is part of how we show that that day did not stop America. That day did not stop us from doing what we do. Mm-hmm. We're still gonna laugh. We're still gonna find humor. You think you got us? Hell no. No. We can still have some fun and humor in our lives. Mm-hmm. It's important. It is. It truly is. And I understand if people are uncomfortable with the topic and the conversation and everything, mm-hmm. but that's only leaning into what they want, what the people that attacked us want. They don't want us to be happy. They don't want us to live the American dream. That was a part of the whole point of the whole thing. By laughing, by pushing through, we grow, we heal. Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
And finally, in our entertainment section, Ace Frehley is not going after the guys after all.
Just a surprise of nobody.
Yes. Remember when Ace Frehley vowed to release information that would ruin Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons? Unless Paul apologized for insulting his music abilities. This was a Monday, I think we were talking about this.
Something like that.
Well, the threat has been rescinded. Ace says he has decided not to sink to their level. Besides, he says, quote, I came to the realization that I don't even have to bring up anything that I have hidden away in my attorney's safe deposit box. Awfully specific. I can just talk about things that they have said about me in black and white. They can't come after me that because they said it. It's in black and white. Also, Ace says Paul called him right after he issued his threat. He says, quote, I'm not going to apologize, and then he hung up. He basically told him off and said that I'm not going to apologize, and then hung up on it. Mutual destruction. It comes to mind here with this when I first heard about this. Mm-hmm. Like anything Ace was witness of, chances are Ace is also going to be like, you know,
he would be involved in this too.
Especially if you know anything, if you know a little bit about Gene Simmons has never touched a cigarette, never had a drink. It's not his thing.
Yep.
I mean, if you know Gene Simmons, you know what his thing is. It's not involved in those things.
Yeah, right.
Now there's plenty of conversation about Gene Simmons and you know, things that he could have or may have not done wrong. So that's already out in the open.
Right.
Paul Stanley, I've not heard really anything negative about.
Not really.
Even in fact, I've heard like he's one of those few guys that isn't much of a diva for and a guy that I would expect to be who is not. And actually, Paul Stanley's done quite a good job with social media where he's doing a lot of like raising awareness to a lot of causes and stuff like that. Like, so I don't know what Ace thought he had, but I guarantee you, I would bet any amount of money you want that he was all going to go forward with this and then realized, oh, wait, I don't have anything good.
Yep.
Or whatever I have, mutual destruction. Right. It's just going to bring me down, too.
Something to consider about this in general with successful bands. Okay, if you have a successful group, you spend way more time with the group than you do your family members. Mm. You become a family in your own way.
Yeah.
And just like all families, there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be hurt feelings. There's going to be all of this stuff that's going on right now. And yes, some families do kind of self-destruct.
Yeah.
You know, people won't talk to each other anymore. They get into these little silly tiffs like we've seen here. Pink Floyd is another great example of that.
Yeah.
And Kiss now. But at the same time, I think about but they're still connected. You know, they can't get away from each other. I think about when after the Beatles broke up. And then Paul and John would, you know, occasionally take shots at each other in the press and stuff like that. But Paul McCartney would still constantly visit John in New York. Yeah. They would still hang out with each other because they were still friends. And they were still basically family because they had spent all this time together. And it's hard to let go of that. You know? Mm-hmm. So, and I think that has something to do with what's going on with Kiss and all the other groups and all these crazy things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that has something to do with it.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I think you got something there. We will take a break right here. Actually, we got a little time left. Let's go ahead. I did have a couple of other entertainment things I wanted to touch on.
All right.
We got a little time. I'll just burn through these. Diddy, Puffy, whatever he's calling himself now. I have no idea. I can't keep up with it, and I don't care. Back in 97, Diddy sampled Every Breath You Take by the Police in his hit track, I'll Be Missing You. He eventually settled up, though. He never got permission to do this.
Oh.
He never got permission. All right. But he eventually settled up, though, and Sting has no reason to hold a grudge because Diddy still pays him $5,000 per day.
What?
He posted a video from a 2018 interview where Sting claimed he was getting $2,000 a day for the sample. He captioned it, quote, nope, $5,000 a day. In the interview, Sting said, quote, we're very good friends now.
Not surprising.
Wow.
I mean, do you just pay that up in the month, like, you know, get it out of the way right away in the month? Or is it probably every day you're sending him $5,000? Like every day you got to, did I send Sting that check? Did
yeah.
I?
Every morning with no. your coffee.
Yeah.
I find that hilarious.
I think they probably do it at, yeah, more lump sum kind of things. But.
That song, wow. I'll Be Missing You, is basically just Every Breath You Take. It's basically just that.
Yeah.
And it was done as a quote-unquote honor to Biggie and all this. Now it was done to make money off of Biggie. It was one last shot to make some money off of his artist. Yeah. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Do I know what's in the heart of Diddy or Biddy or whatever he wants to call himself? No, I don't. And I don't know what's in his mind or anything like that. But I know the way that he projects himself. I know the way that he has handled himself in interviews. And I know that he hasn't brought up his Biggie or anything like that in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know about
I think
that
he should change his name to Biddy. I think I like
Biddy.
Biddy, yes, like Biddy. Let's do it.
Might as well just keep changing it.
Yeah, why not? Yep.
Ben Affleck's son Samuel plays basketball, meaning that like a lot of our other dads, Ben has to work at not being that guy in the stands who takes things too seriously. But he doesn't always succeed. He says, quote, I have found myself just this year really embarrassing myself. I was at a basketball game for my 11-year-old, loudly complaining about the inconsistency of travel calls.
Jeez.
And I was like, get a hold of yourself. Do not be a Scott sitting here complaining and all that about the, you know, these kids and these poor referees that are,
please,
you know.
Don't.
He adds, quote, it's that thing, I think, in modern parenting especially. We want to help our children. We want them to succeed. We love them so much. And yet the real challenge is to get out of the way and let them do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
How about that from Batflack?
Batflack?
Yeah. How about
that? That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
What we've seen some Hollywood parents do over the last several years.
Yes.
That's a better attitude
Buying
to have.
Buying your way into college.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take a break. Get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally Grown Radio. It ain't over till it's over. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. I love this song.
It's a good
song.
Yeah.
It's a good song. We hope you're having a great Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve, everybody. Good stuff coming up. Some Benny Wright stories. Good stories of the day. Bass or that oh, man.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, the rhythm section on that
the
one is just
section.
Classic.
So good.
Yeah.
We're going to Madison Heights, Michigan now, everybody. You may have already seen them in restaurants, waist-high machines that are that can greet guests, lead them to their tables, deliver food and drinks, and ferry dirty dishes to the kitchen. Some have cat-like faces and even purr when you scratch their heads. But are robot waiters the future? That's what we're talking about here.
Okay.
These are machines that are going around, and they're kind of being the concierge or, you know, that kind of thing for a lot of these places.
Yep.
Many think robot waiters are the solution to the industry's labor shortages. Sales of them have been growing rapidly in recent years, with tens of thousands now gliding through dining rooms worldwide. Quote, there's no doubt in my mind that this is where the world is going, says Dennis Reynolds, Dean of Hilton College of Global Hospitality Leadership at the University of Houston.
All right.
The school's restaurant, I don't know what their mascot is. I don't know. I was going to say, go fighting long words. The school's restaurant began using a robot in December, and Reynolds says it has eased the workload for human staff and made service more efficient.
Hmm. Interesting.
But others say robot waiters aren't much more than a gimmick that have a long way to go before they can replace humans. They can't take orders, and many restaurants have steps, outdoor patios, and other physical challenges that can't adapt to.
All right.
Still, the robots are prolific Redwood City, California-based Bear Robotics introduces its Servi robots in 2021 and expects to have over 10,000 of them deployed by the end of the year in 44 U.S. states and overseas.
Wow.
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 Quote, every restaurant chain is looking toward as much automation as possible. Phil Zhang of Retech Robotics says, an Austin-based marketer of robotic servers. People are going to see these everywhere in the next year or two.
Hmm. We'll see. I don't know.
How many
do they expect a tip?
Oh, nice, nice.
Here's some oil. Get yourself something nice.
Nice. Nicely done, Seth. Nicely.
Nice. Are you hitting on the robot now? What's going on?
Okay. Yeah, I went back to the 30s there, but you know, it's
great. No, I loved it. I loved it. That was great. I'm really glad that in you know, we figured this out instead of paying people more.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, that's great.
Wonderful.
Robots are cheap. You know,
yeah.
And the upkeep for them, that'll be cheap too.
I'm sure that'll be a lot cheaper than actually paying people a living wage.
Also, don't unionize.
That is a bigger one. I think so.
Yeah.
They don't call in sick.
No. Nope.
They don't, you know, all these other factors and everything.
When they get the virus and start killing people, you know, that's a downside.
That seems
like
a bad one.
Yeah.
That seems like, I mean, anybody seen AI? I mean, come on.
Can I get some ketchup? No.
Boom. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Nobody asked for ketchup. The robot's on a rampage.
There are a lot of shortages in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked about this. We've seen this. We've experienced this. We understand this. We also understand pretty much how to fix it. And it ain't robots.
No.
Pay people.
Yeah, right.
Pay them a living wage.
Yeah.
Pay them a good wage.
Yeah. It's not that hard. It really isn't.
Boom. Just fixed it.
Yeah.
Where are you going to get that money? Figure it out. If you can't, you shouldn't be a business.
Yeah,
I'm tired of, like, during the pandemic and that, we talked a lot about small businesses, and we talked about them staying alive. And I feel for any business that has gone under, especially during that time.
Right.
But what do we got to pick a lane here? Okay, are we capitalist society, or are we we're just going to be, you know, kumbaya with everybody? I'm okay with the kumbaya thing, but let's agree with it. Let's be where money is not the factor here, and that is not the sole outlier of business.
Right.
But we all understand that money is king. We all understand that all your answers come back to money. So quit lying to us. Quit telling us that, well, if I pay you $7.25 an hour, that'll motivate you to want to get a better job. That'll motivate you to want to, you know, motivate me? Being able to feed my kids.
Yeah.
You know? I don't need your motivation. I've got it already. Life is my motivation.
Right.
Get out of my way with that.
So this is interesting. I just read something recently. Elizabeth Warren came out recently and said that in the big spending bill they did last year, or the earlier this year, I should say, that one of the things that was included in there was universal child care, or at least trying to get to that point.
Yeah, yeah.
And because of the way the Congressional Budget Office works, the models they use, it was considered, nope, can't do it. Costs too much money.
Yeah.
Even though the budgeting model they use does not include all of the pluses that would come from it.
Yeah.
It's an investment. Okay, what business person out there would make I got to figure out what I'm doing this year. I got to budget my stuff here. I'm going to spend this much money, but then didn't say how that would come back to them. How that investment would earn them money. No sane business person wouldn't do that. And that's what we're doing with our federal budget. That does not make any sense at all. Okay, you want more people in the workforce? Guess what? Get them child care right now. How many people could work then? Yep, how many women could be in the workforce if we had adequate child care for everybody?
Especially considering how many women we lost in the workforce during the pandemic.
Exactly.
Overwhelmingly, 100% of the people affected were women.
That stat
we went over a number of times.
Because there was no child care.
Yeah.
They had to do it themselves. I'm telling you, this would be
your job and staying home.
Yes,
because it doesn't. If your job doesn't pay you enough to afford childcare, what's the point of working?
Or access, right now,
or that
in Rapids,
safe access.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, right now we don't have enough in Wisconsin Rapids, and I can't imagine there aren't 100, 1,000 other communities in this country that have the same issue.
Probably hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Any one of those, let alone all of these, could use more attention than working on robot waiters.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more about that than this.
Would make more sense, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it also shows you how little the powers that be care about this stuff. They'd rather...
It's far more important to pull books out of libraries and...
Yeah, that's important, right? Yep.
Make darn sure that...
Story times.
Make darn sure there's none of these drag things going on anywhere near
parades,
us or anything. You know, because you know, there's a straight connection between that and oh, wait a minute. No, nothing. Nothing. Take a break. Come back. And we got palate cleansers coming up.
Yeah, all right.
Good stories of the day coming up,
everybody. I'm dragging you guys down with me.
Good job.
It's the Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to the Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. And we got some good stories of the day coming up. Got a That Ain't Right story I have to touch on first, of course. Wouldn't be our show if we didn't do that. Wouldn't also be us if I didn't let you look behind the curtain a little bit here. And I almost broke Seth for a second because I was telling him I want to do some theme music, like something, some startup music for the Pet of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that popped in my head was actually Atomic Dog from George Clinton. That doesn't work. And then the beginning of Been Caught Stealing by Jane's Addiction. It's barking. I don't know. It doesn't work. It doesn't work, though. It doesn't.
What about Who Let the Dogs Out?
No, we're not doing that.
We're not doing that.
It's overused.
That's the mischievous part of her right now that's showing. We don't get to see that side of Melissa very often.
No, that's true.
Well, you might like this one then, Melissa. This story, I don't think you're going to like it at all, but...
James.
We'll see. Nameberry.com just revealed the trendiest baby names of 2023 so far. They're not the most popular baby names, just the ones people are searching for the most on the web.
Mm-hmm.
The top two are pretty weird. Air, A-I-R-E, and for girls, Luxury.
What?
The rest of the top five for girls are Maeve, M-A-E-V-E, Alice, Isla, Ophelia, all pretty names.
Yeah.
I don't mind any of them. And for boys, Soren, S-O-R-E-N, Silas, S-I-L-A-S, Atticus,
okay, ooh,
and Oliver.
Going back, like going Oliver. Way back on some of those.
Oliver's a sneaky good one, I think.
Yeah.
And I am a sucker for the name Atticus. I love the name Atticus.
Yeah, I know why, too. But yes, also, exactly, Silas. I like the name Silas. Mm-hmm. That's an old school one.
Yeah. And here's one.
But I have reasons.
Yes, understandable.
I'm sure you do.
Yes. And here's one name that won't be trending anytime soon. A guy who's about to become a dad asked Reddit for advice after his wife came up with an iffy name for their new son.
Oh, boy.
Her brother's name was Charles, and he recently passed away. So she wanted to name their kid Charles to pay tribute. That's a beautiful thing.
I
think that's very cool. Mm-hmm. The problem is their last name is Manson.
No.
Sorry, no.
No, can't.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it, people.
Ooh.
That would be a millstone around their neck for life.
Yes.
Yep. The husband pointed out that having the same name as a serial killer might not be a good idea.
No, don't do that.
But she said it's been so long enough that no one would make that connection.
No, it hasn't been long enough. No.
Nope. Maybe in another 200 years.
The murders happened 54 years ago. Manson died in 2017. Too soon.
Ooh.
Still too soon.
Yeah. It was just recently.
Wow.
A couple years ago. I mean, I just totally don't do it. Don't do it.
I want to be understanding because she's hurting. She's in pain. Mm-hmm. And she wants to honor her brother. I get it. Maybe a middle name? And even then, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, but you might be. Did he have a nickname? Is there anything we could.
Anything.
What was his middle name?
They would be better off changing their last name.
Yeah.
Not Manson.
Manson. That's good. That's
Franson. Just change the first letter.
There you go.
I had a African American friend growing up. His last name was White. And he used to joke his middle name was Ain't. That's good. That's good. A few people suggested a compromise. Like, oh, I'm sorry. Wait, I got ahead of myself. So the guy asked Reddit if he should let her go through with it or put his foot down, and everyone agreed that they should not name their baby Charles Manson.
Yeah.
A few people suggested a compromise, like make Charles into his middle name or use his brother's middle name as the kid's first. I just said that.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever it is, it can't be worse than Charles Manson. Now there's an update. Someone followed up with them yesterday, and he said his wife finally buckled after reading the Reddit comments.
Mm.
Instead of Charles, they're naming him Cian, or Kian, Kian, C-I-A-N. It's pronounced Kian.
Kian, oh, okay.
His full name will be Kian Summit Manson, and they're still, boy, that doesn't sound, and there's
Kian Summit.
And there's still a nod to her brother in here. One of his favorite places to go camping was Summit Lake in Indiana.
Mm. There you go.
So the middle name is a tribute. She's due in about 3 weeks. And we wish her a very healthy pregnancy.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Summit is much better. Much better. It's a little different, but I think that's cool. I go with that.
But that's kind of the way of the world now.
Yeah, it's true.
Especially in America. Let's make the names weird.
Better than luxury. Luxury.
Yeah. Yes, luxury.
Am I alone in words with X in it? I don't like deluxe.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like words like that for some reason. I don't know why, but you know.
Really?
You got a thing against X's?
I think I do.
Nicely done. Oh, that was good. I wanted to get into this good story for a little while. I actually got this about a month ago, but it's a longer one, so we need a little time with this, but I think it's worth it. It comes to us from thegoodnewsnetwork.org. A big shout out to Andy Corbley and the nice reporting that Andy does. Chelsea Brown likes to trawl flea markets and thrift shops for interesting items, but not for decorations or for collections. She is an amateur genealogist. She enjoys tracking down the owners of or the descendants of the owners and reuniting them with their lost heirlooms. The Manhattan interior designer claims to have returned more than 500 objects to their owners, and she does it all for free. Quote, wow. I love the thrill of the chase. I love to close out the mystery, says Brown. It's insane that things I have found, all of the Holocaust items I have been able to return that have been special. Wow. After finding a telling clue on an object, she seeks out demographic information in city census records and other sources. This usually brings up a marriage certificate or another distinguishing legal document. She is then usually able to track down the owner and contact them about whatever it is she's trying to return, though she admits most people think it's a scam.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Brown says that many of the same emotional dramas that can cause disruptions in relationships and households today were just as prevalent 100, sometimes 200 years ago.
That makes sense.
Chelsea has found hundreds of interesting items, including love letters from decades ago, which show all the hallmarks of love struggles today, such as clinginess and ghosting. Stuff was going on back then, too.
It's true. It's like, well, you know, we've said it before on the show. There's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has all happened before. Technology may be a little different, but it probably was actually easier to ghost someone back in the day.
Oh, I bet. Because
when you only had, like, letters, a way to communicate with people. Heck,
you could drop your family back in the day. Like, they'd go move to another town and everything. Like,
where'd they go? Fake your own death, you know. I mean, you could do all that things a lot easier back then. Yeah.
Heartbreak, affairs, and family drama were all still happening, says Brown. I think it comforts people to know, even if they don't get any contact from someone after going on a date, that the exact same thing happened in 1850, but with letters.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to wait even longer to find out.
Yeah, I know.
It's rough. Her specialization is typically letters such as romantic series during World War II or a diary of two teenage lovers who drifted apart. All this digging through the past has given her the idea to write a time capsule book.
Oh, that's cool.
Interesting.
That is a really interesting hobby.
What a thing to do with your spare time.
Yeah.
You know?
And
I found out about this in part because of her returning some items to some Holocaust members. They were not part of my tribe, but were a part of a family tribe.
Right.
And I cannot thank her enough for these things.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one moment in history we're talking about with the Holocaust and how important it can be for these items to come back to the people that rightfully own them and deserve them.
Mm-hmm.
The spoils of war be damned. I don't believe in that. Now, when it comes to just any old item, like especially everything involving World War II, that, I mean, there's not many of us that don't have a relative that don't have something to do with World War II. Like, so I can't imagine the connections and the things that she found and everything. Incredible person. Mm-hmm. I think that's so darn cool that she is doing that.
Yeah, that's, it sounds like, I mean, and she's the, what she's getting out of it is just, like she said, the thrill of getting, of reuniting people with these really interesting things. Yeah, that's a great story.
Two teenagers attacked a guy in Chick-fil-A at in Virginia on Saturday, and one of them pulled a knife. But luckily, three Marines happened to be there and put a stop to it.
That was not good choosing there, guys. Bad luck.
Crime does not pay.
Nope.
Nicely done, Marines.
Yes, indeed.
One of them broke the handle off, so the kid couldn't use it anymore. The two teens ran off with the guy's phone, but cops arrested them outside a CVS nearby.
Okay, there you go.
A woman in South Carolina bought herself a lottery ticket for her birthday, scratched it off, and won $200,000.
Not bad.
Whoa. Now she's buying a house.
No, nice. Wow. Now that's cool. That's very cool.
I think that's awesome. Is that one of the first things you do? You win the lottery kind of thing if you don't own a home, like own it, buying a home? Like, I feel like that's one of the first things you do.
Yeah, I think if you don't already, I think that would be something, yeah.
Well, it seems like a solid investment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right?
If you can to live in it and own it, it's better than, you know, not having an investment.
Correct. how much? We got 5 minutes left. Okay, all right.
some jerk stole a 3-year-old kid's brand new Spider-Man bike in Rockland, Maine last Thursday, and the cops are still looking for the guy. But the kid already has a new bike after a woman who's currently homeless stepped in to help.
Hmm?
What?
Say that one more time. A woman who is currently homeless stepped in to help.
Wow.
She wants to remain anonymous, but she's been living out of her car. When she heard about the story, she used the little money she had to buy him a new Spider-Man bike and matching helmet. She dropped it off at a police station the other day. Now a nonprofit called Mid-Coast Recovery Coalition is raising money to help her get back on her feet.
Hmm, that's awesome.
That's what happens. You
karma.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. This is
one good deed brings another.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I believe in karma so much. Mm-hmm. That you have evidence of it every day. Every day you have evidence of karma.
Yep.
You just got to open your eyes and look.
Mm-hmm.
The Houston Zoo announced that a 90-year-old tortoise named Mr. Pickles became a father for the first time.
Aww.
His species is critically endangered, so they joke that it's literally Big Dill. His wife, Miss Pickles, is 53. Just let that sit there. So it's a real May-December romance.
Yeah, I guess so.
They welcome three hatchlings named Dill, Grekin, and Jalapeno.
Oh, okay.
Aww.
Something about naming animals jalapeno that we love to do. We really love to do that. A Southwest flight out of Vegas had to turn back on Wednesday after the captain had a medical emergency. But luckily, a pilot from another airline happened to be on board and filled in. The co-pilot was also able to help.
Wow, that's good. What are the odds?
That's pretty crazy.
That's pretty good.
And let's see here. Let's go to this one. I want to get to this one. A couple in Wisconsin won over $18,000 in a 50-50 raffle at a Milwaukee Brewers game last year and used it to pay for fertility treatments and just had their first baby.
Aww. That's sweet.
Their son, Foster, was born in February. They just took him to his first Brewer game this week. Foster, that's great.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like that.
It's better than calling him like AmFam or something like that. You know?
Especially you'd have to change his name every couple of weeks and everything. So.
Wait, Miller Park? What? No.
There is my mom's sister's youngest sister, my Aunt Sandy, and her husband struggled for quite some time with it being able to do this and did the fertility thing and everything. And then a couple of years went by and nothing happened. And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. Like, she has my nephew, and then she has twins. And,
oh, no.
And, these stories always hit me. They always get me, you know. It's something that's just beautiful. I think it's
very
cool.
Cool. Yeah.
And a couple in England just got married 60 years after they intended to.
What?
Whoa.
Whoa.
79-year-old Len Alberton and 78-year-old Jeanette Steer met in 63, but their parents wouldn't let them be together. They both ended up marrying other people, but he got divorced a while back, and her first husband passed away. So Len tracked her down, they fell in love again, and tied the knot last month.
How sweet is that?
Aww.
Aww. Love is eternal, right?
Truly is.
Yeah.
Truly is. A guy on a motorcycle was in a fiery crash in Pennsylvania on Tuesday, but a woman delivering pizzas saw it happen, pulled him away from the burning bike, and probably saved his life.
Very cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice.
That is pretty darn cool.
But right more there. Importantly, is the pizza okay?
No, yeah, did anybody check?
Just kidding.
Did the pizza get there hot? Well, you know, while she was waiting, she just stuck it in the
over
fire.
The fire, yeah.
Got to cover the bases here. Got to what's truly, truly valuable.
Truly important.
Truly important on this. We are going to wrap up here. Thank you so much for joining us to the best listeners in radio. All of you out there, thank you so much. Melissa, Seth, thanks for a great time. You guys have yourself a good rest of your day and a good weekend.
You too.
You too, guys.
Be on the lookout because we're going to have coming up here in Morning Magazine, we're going to talk with Sharon Bethrens, instructor of business technology at Mid-State. And in part two at 10:30, Anna James, natural resources educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Tomorrow on the morning show, Terry John sitting in. We'll get you ready for your weekend. Have some fun with our star of the day, Misty's Menu, and plenty of other great stuff. It's 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We are the morning show on WFHR.